Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, Haberim, Rastafari, Shalom, here, the Rastafari podcast here, the Thursday podcast, the Upper Room, the Zion podcast, and here in the season, reason for season, the Hanukkah, Rastafari, the Maccabee, fighting holidays, resisting the assimilation into the Greco-Roman, the Babylonian system of things, right here for the Hanukkah. Chag, ha-Hanukkah, Sameach, happy Maccabee Fighting Isla Day right here. Here's Thursday podcast on the air and in the air. We have today's daily psalm, Psalm 59, the 59th psalm according to the Royal Order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, corresponding with this fifth day of the Maccabee Fighting Isla Day. So they're fighting, resisting assimilation to the Greco-Roman, counterfeit Christian, the Babylonian system of things. Yes, sir. The must be mine. Here. We'll be glad here in the season, reason for the season, the fifth day, right here in the upper
Then returned Rome. They unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren.
So here, a rhema tune corresponding with today's daily psalm, Psalm 59, right here it is, fifth day, Maccabee Fighting Isla Day.
Thank you.
Psalm 59. Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity, and save me from bloody men. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me. Not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me, and behold. Thou therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors. Selah. They return at evening. They make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouth. Swords are in their lips. For who, say they, doth hear? But thou, O Lord, shalt laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. Because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. The God of my mercy shall prevent me. God shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies. Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power, and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak. Consume them in wrath. Consume them that they may not be, and let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth. Selah. And at evening let them return, and let them make a noise like a dog, and go round about the city. Let them wander up and down for meat, and grudge if they be not satisfied. But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense, and the God of my mercy, 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 God of my mercy.
We find the music.
All I say, one man and one man alone together, people like a mountain of stone from all directions and all zones. Take them out of Babylon, take them out of Rome, a one for the home. I'm a sing. One man and one man alone. One man for guide us home. Mr. Kata sing, one man and one man alone. One man for guide us home again. But we say out of Babylon and make we come out of Rome. We go cross river Jordan, we want to go home. A step way, a step out of wicked man danger zone. Well a movie, we have a movie, not still at the eye zone. But all of the laughing are with the scissors and comb. We chant now your bingy around as a throne. We run out with the devil, with the evil in the throne. When I tell the whole of them, say we will want go home. One man and one man alone. One man be guide us home. Mr. Get a thing, one man and one man alone. One man be guide us home again. Me say the man with the scepter and him sitting in a the throne. He angel get a runa like a cream on a cone. Me say lightning all of you see from the holy one throne. Some of them a be get a round the head on a stone. People get a runa like a mountain a stone. Me say from all directions, a man from all zone. Case for all them out of Vatican or Rome. The man well known, me say the man well been a horn. One man and one man alone. One man to guide us home. Mr. Get a thing, one man and one man alone. Only one man can carry I home. Mr. Not your Big Mac 11 boy, nor your M1, nor the bag of posing. I'm on murder your shot. Your lip service and your mouth organ. The dapper than a comfy bow down the Vatican. Remember King David had the last wicked man. So we spot them or we come up, yeah them come from. You know some master got the I-man protection. It's only him alone can take me to Mount Zion. Me cry one man and one man alone. One man to carry us. Mr. Get a thing, one man and one man alone. One man for guide us home. Mr. Percent, not the guy Pope all we control Vatican. Not Queen Elizabeth, we rule up a land. And I'm not church, I'm not skit, I'm not politician. None of liquor pastor, nor no deacon. Me not go to fool the man from Dunga Senton. And watch how them a sprinkle them powderation. Me not go put me trust in all the boy I'll bomb. Me have to put me trust in all me almighty one. Again, one man and one man alone. One man for guide us home. Mr. Get a thing, one man and one man alone. One man for guide us home. Mr. Out of Babylon and make we come out of Rome. Me have to cross river Jordan, we want to go home. I step me a step out of wicked man, the end of zone. Well I step we a go step in as the last day I zone. But all of the loving are with the scissors and comb. Fit start now you bring the around at the throne. Me run away the devil with the evil in the throne. But I tell them that the people say we want to go home. One man and one man alone. One man for guide us home. Mr. Get a thing, one man and one man alone. One man for guide us home. Mr. The man together with the scepter and him sitting in the throne. The angel gather round like a cream pan a cone. Mr. Lightning all a glisten from the Holy One throne. Jam and them a fi gather round the head on a stone. People gather round like a mountain of stone. From all directions, they say I'm from all zones. We chase Pope all them out of Vatican or Rome. The man well known, me say the man well be known. One man and one man alone. One man fi guide us home. Everybody sing, one man and one man alone. One man fi guide us home. I told Kelly sing, one man and one man alone. One man fi guide us home. I make me hear no sing, one man and one man alone. One man fi guide us home. So you know you sing, one man and one man alone. One man fi guide us home. We get that drum and sing, one man and one man alone. One man fi guide us home.
In Ethiopian life, the imperial ruler is likened in splendor to the sun, splendor to the sun, splendor to the sun, an exalted power to the lion, 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 in his divine being to the kings of Israel, divine being to the kings of Israel, to the kings of Israel, to the kings of Israel, and at times to God, and at times to God, and at times to God himself, himself, himself.
To his many followers, Jesus Christ was black, and Haile Selassie as the returned Messiah. Bob Marley was not just a pop star, but a prophet, the spiritual leader of a religious movement that is fast becoming a political force in the Caribbean. That movement is called Rastafari. In our report, first shown last December, Rastas believe that Ethiopia was and is the true biblical Israel. Thus, as they see it, blacks were the original chosen people of God, and the Jews are imposters. They say that Jesus Christ was black, and they worship Haile Selassie as the returned Messiah. Africa is their promised land. All other civilization is Babylon. And Babylon's leader, considered by them to be the devil on earth, is the Pope.
We kill him every thought we have. It's just to kill the Pope. Kill him. Kill out Rome. Kill Babylon.
And you're serious about that?
Yeah, and how we're going to kill them though is with lightning, earthquake, and thunder. Not gun or bayonet, which is Babylon's weapons, but with lightning, earthquake, and thunder.
Rastaman Arthur Kitchen's Kill the Pope sentiments are shared by Rastas throughout the island. The scene is a hillside on the outskirts of Kingston. The sound is Rastafarian drums, symbolic thunder, rolled in daily ritual. Four drum beats aimed at the four corners of the world, so no pope can escape. Babylon will fall is the Rastaman's constant litany. They are praying, hoping, singing for survival and for escape. Their music is called reggae. Now popular worldwide. Peter 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 worldwide.
I don't have to take this crap. I am an angel, and I was sent here to help you, nigga.
Nigga? That's the way a Jewish angel talks?
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, too.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel, O children of Israel? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, children of Israel, saith the Lord? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel?
The holy war to regain the temple and free themselves from the Seleucids would require strength, sacrifice, and endurance on the part of the Jews. To prevail, they would need leaders of uncommon ability. They had found one in Judah Maccabee.
He was courageous, stalwart, strong, unbending, unshakable, successful military leader. And he inspired a whole population probably that had never previously known war before, never had even trained in war, never thought they could fight. Where he came from, how he arose, what the precedents were, it's impossible to say.
After the initial skirmish at Modin, it is clear that the revolution had gained a commander with a rare combination of righteousness, ruthlessness, and brilliance in combat. Yet little is known about Judah Maccabee's early life. When and how did he become a master at the art of war? The mystery remains. In the wilderness, Judah's army began to grow. He organized daring raids to harass the outlying Seleucid garrisons. As the Seleucid body count mounted, the Jews began to view Judah as a hero sent from heaven, one who would deliver them from the hands of their oppressors. Is it possible that Judah's followers believed he might be a Messiah, divinely sent to do God's will?
He certainly was a really new type of Jew, a warrior Jew with a very strong spiritual bent, a holy warrior. Was he a Messiah for his time? I think the people certainly saw him as such.
As Judah's power soared in the countryside, an urgent call for help was sent to the Seleucid provincial governor, Apollonius. With an army of 3,000 well-armed troops, Apollonius marched upon Judah's ragtag recruits, less than one-third the size of the Seleucid army. But Apollonius had made a grave error in underestimating Judah's determined and desperate followers.
They had this idea clearly of holy war, and for them, numbers didn't matter, the size of the armies didn't matter. In fact, Judas says at one point, according to one of the sources, that he prefers a small army, a guerrilla-type army. The strength is in the commitment, and he says the victory comes from the Lord of heaven, comes from God.
As the Seleucid army marched through a narrow gorge, Judah's warriors descended upon them in ambush. The Seleucids lost over 1,000 men. Legends relate that Apollonius was killed by Judah himself. The first book of Maccabees recounts that Judah then took the sword of Apollonius as his own. The second book of Maccabees gives us a markedly different version, perhaps one of the most mysterious in the entire Bible. It is a story of the supernatural and the miraculous. In it, the battle sword is given to Judah by an angel, the prophet Jeremiah.
Jeremiah stretched out his hand and gave to Judah a golden sword and addressed him thus, "Take this holy sword, a gift from God, with which you will strike down your adversaries." 2 Maccabees 15:15.
This is a very mysterious episode. Out of nowhere, we get people coming back to life. We get heavenly horsemen, like in the apocalypse, suddenly appearing all dressed in gold on the battlefield and swinging the battle to the side of the holy warriors led by Judas.
We may never know whether the Seleucids were destroyed by brilliant tactics or heavenly messengers, but soon after this defeat, an army twice as large was sent against the recalcitrant Jews. Again, it was vanquished by Judah's superior tactics. Again, its general killed in battle. Antiochus finally realized his empire faced a serious rebellion. Enraged, he commanded his viceroy Lysias to destroy the Jews once and for all.
He turned over to Lysias half of his forces and the elephants to wipe out and destroy the strength of Israel and to banish the memory of them from the place. 1 Maccabees 3:32.
the Seleucids threw every piece of armor against the Maccabees they could, including elephants, into that region of the world where they'd never seen an elephant before. And it was supposed to invoke fear in the Maccabean fighters.
Bristling with an arsenal of modern weapons, an army of battle-hardened veterans now marched against the Maccabees. The Bible puts their number at 47,000.
One of the things that one has to remember is that though our sources, of course, are going to embellish this David-Goliath story for all it's worth, in some of these battles, the odds were not all that great against the Jews, and in fact, the Jews might even have had superior manpower in some of these battles.
Whatever the true size of the armies involved, Judah again demonstrated himself a master strategist. Learning that part of the Seleucid army had left its base, planning to fall upon him during the night, Judah surreptitiously abandoned his own military quarters in the hills, ordering his campfires to be left burning to confuse the approaching enemy. Judah then fell upon the remaining Seleucids in the plain below. After their fruitless attempt to surprise Judah, the first Seleucid detachment returned at dawn. In horror, they watched Judah's army mercilessly cutting down their comrades.
They saw that their army had been put to flight and that the Jews were burning the camp. They were filled with panic as they also saw the army of Judah in the plain ready for battle, and they all fled. 1 Maccabees 4:20.
The viceroy Lysias himself was now forced to deal personally with the Maccabees. In the spring of 164 BCE, with an enormous army said to number over 65,000, he marched upon Judea. Lysias was confident that this time the Seleucids would not fail. The Jews had to be vanquished. When we return, how could Judah's warriors prevail over the empire's most experienced soldiers? And what is the surprising connection between the Jewish festival of Hanukkah and the Christian concept of resurrection?
So here, that was part five. I hope I'm being heard right here. Here, hopefully you're hearing this. Checking the comms right now and see if we're being heard. Yes, so that right there. Yes, I give thanks. That right there, Mysteries of the Bible, particular episode, the Maccabee Revolution and Redemption. So putting it in context, we're speaking about the black Jews that have returned from Persia, from the Babylonian exile, had begun to live in the land in the BC times, and when the Greeks were, after Alexander the Great had come to power in that particular region. We could almost call it like the embryonic rise of what later on may be referred to as so-called pseudo-white supremacy in that particular region. The Hellenistic influences is what is mainly being focused on in the Book of Maccabees, but it's a typology. Now, some of the European Jews, they seem somewhat curious in their comments, you know, listening to some of the comments, you know, we have to kind of pick sense out of what might seem to be nonsense. But this is one of I stories. This is why the Rastaman speak about the Book of Maccabees and even the Maccabee Bible, So here, I'd like to share part four and part five. It was actually one whole episode, History Channel, a series known as Mysteries of the Bible. This particular episode is somewhat hard to get nowadays, but it's out there. And if ones and ones seek to get a copy of it, hopefully, you know, audio and a video can be provided. But here, listening to the audio, would love to really go through a build. But there's so much that's contained within Maccabees. Maccabees takes place between Malachi and Matthew. To get a good context on what we have in the New Testament, the Brit Hadasha, the Adis Kidan scriptures, it's important to have the apocryphal books, which was known to the early Yehudi, the early Jews, even we the black Jews, as well as the early Christians, knew of these particular documents. Now, we recommend Lost Books of the Bible, Forgotten Books of Eden, Lost Books of the Bible, Forgotten Books of Eden, in particular with the Hanukkah and in particular with the reading, as the fourth book of Maccabees is properly chaptered into eight chapters. So therefore, a chapter a day for the 8 days, for the 8 days of Hanukkah, a chapter a day of the fourth book of Maccabees. Now, what we have in the fourth book of Maccabees is a testament of the seven brothers, the mother, and the old man, right? All resisting the persecution, the temptation to deny Jah way of life of Jah people as guided and directed in the teaching, the true teaching of his master, B-I-B-L-E, but in particular, HaTorah, within the Torah. This occurs in the early part of the Hellenization, the forced Hellenization. It's very much similar to Revelation. In fact, that kind of mention of even the last audio concerning like resurrection. Most of the so-called Christian concepts and ideas, the true Christian concept and ideas, are basically Judaic or Yehudi concepts and Israelite Hebrew concepts and ideas. Even the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, so says to the Samaritan woman when he says that ye, y'all, the Samaritans, worship that which they know not. We know what we worship. For the Samaritans were not ethnically Israelites. In faith and in belief, they were Israelitish, but they were not ethnically Israelites. The northern 10 tribes had went into captivity much earlier. Afterward, the southern tribe of Judah went into captivity. Then there was a small remnant that had returned with Ezra and Nehemiah had repatriated. A small remnant had repatriated out of Babylon. The majority of the Yehudi or the Jews, many, enough ones stayed, but there was a small remnant. Even in looking at this, we get to see that there ain't nothing new under the sun. We look at Shashamani, Ethiopian World Federation, the land grant, the Rastafari, and others who had settled on the land, and so many others stayed behind in Babylon. This is the same thing that happened during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. Now, after the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, do we come to this particular time period right here within the scriptures and also within the history? Just putting some of the historical data into context, the Scofield Study Bible has a section between Malachi and Matthew where it gives a summary to some of the history to bridge that particular gap that the apocryphal books, especially Maccabees as one of those 15 or 16 apocryphal books, fills in that particular gap. So we're just speaking to this so that we can put it into a better context. Now, in listening to the third part of the audio that we just heard from the Maccabee Revolution and Redemption. So what we have here is a holy war. What we have right here, one might call it even a religious or a war that is guided and influenced and informed by people's faith. I emphasize that right there because, you know, some when they look at Rastafari, depends on how they look at Rastafari. Some you hear of some who are like pan-African, maybe pro-black or, as they say, Garveyite-ish, and others who are Rastafari in more of the spiritual or the faith-based sense. So we get here in Maccabees is a testimony of these two coming together and testifying of victory when we have the true faith, as His Majesty Kadamawi Haile Selassie says, with faith, courage, and a just cause, David will beat Goliath. And this is what we have within Maccabees, the book of Maccabees. Now, in listening to that audio clip, we have the Seleucids. They call the Seleucids, the Seleuci, Seleucids, or in the Western English sense, the Seleucids. Now, we looked in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary. Sometimes we find like key words, certain names, and sometimes these names are found within the Bible, and the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary often has some very good insights. So seeing that the Gracchoi, the Greeks, when we say the Greeks, we're not going back to Javan time, Javan, one of the sons of Noah. We're going to the time of the Gracchoi, where there were, you could say, a Canaanitish, a white group of people who had taken over indigenous civilization of the Ionians or the Minoans. The same thing happened in Rome. We had the Etruscans, right, who are ethnically, we could say, melanated group of people, dark-skinned group of people who were taken over by the Latins. As we have nothing new under the sun, we see what happened in Australia, for an example, or even what happened in America and Canada, and even in parts of South America as well, where another group comes in and assimilates some aspects of the former group's culture and takes over that. So this is what we have in the Gracchoi, or the Hellenists. They're really the people of Hellas, the Hellenistic people who we call the Gracchoi, and later they refer to them as the Greeks. They're referred to in the Book of Maccabees as the Seleucids. Here in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, we have Seleucia. Seleucia, or S-E-L-E-U-C-I-A, Seleucia. And this is a Greek word that means, a Coptic Greek word that means beaten. Seleucia in the Seleucids, who are the enemies of the faithful Yehudi, the faithful Jews, black Jews, and Judah Maccabees. The Seleucids, their name come from Seleucia, a place. And in the Koine Greek, it means beaten by waves, troubled, tossed, afflicted. It also means, Seleucia means white with brightness, moonstruck. So Seleucia in Seleucids, the Hellenizing, say like the white supremacist enemies of that event horizon, that time, that dispensation, Their name is defined within their language as being beaten by waves, troubled, tossed, afflicted, white with brightness, and moonstruck. So we have Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas, according to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verse 4, being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, the Isla Irid, they went down to Seleucia. And from thence, they sailed to Cyprus. Now, Seleucia was a Syrian seaport west of Antioch. Now, just for ones to get a little more of the geographical bearings, we have Antioch. Antioch is the city in which the Nazarenes were called Christians, according to the Bible, according to the New Testament. Antioch is the capital over there that would become like Constantinople in Turkey, what's known as Turkey. Later on, the Ottoman Turks, and also check the Ottoman Turks' influence, adverse influence, you know, concerning the Mohammedanism in the Horn of Africa and Ethiopia later history. Now, the place called Turkey was the seat of the Hittites. The Hittites were a tribe of Canaan. Interesting, there's the woman within the gospel. In one gospel, I think it's Matthew, it refers to the woman. One gospel refers to her as a Greek by nationality. And then they call her a Syro-Phoenician woman. And in the other gospel, the very same narrative refers to the woman as a Canaanite woman. Because we teach that the so-called white people or Europeans, so-called, are basically descendants of the tribes of Canaan, by and large. But let's go on right here on Seleucia concerning the name of the particular Greeks and the Greek civilization that was seeking domination over Judah and the remnant of the children of Israel. So Seleucia was a Syrian seaport west of Antioch. Now, the metaphysics of Seleucia is interesting here, as we're in the Hanukkah, the Maccabee fighting holidays, and a good chess player, and people play chess, they say, well, like, you know the game, like, know yourself, but also know your enemy. So right here, who is Seleucia, right? And the Seleucids. Seleucia means beaten by waves, troubled, tossed. And Cyprus. Cyprus means fearness. Being shaken, Seleucia, is a common experience of those who send spirit down into the body. Again, being shaken, represented by the meaning of Seleucia, is a common experience of those who send spirit, irit, ruach, down into the body. Some are afraid that this disturbed condition is wrong. Spirit, irit, does not do the shaking. The experience is simply the revelment, the revealment of spirit. Thus, the sense of white with brightness of a shaky subconsciousness that is not established in the good, which already existed, and of which the individual was but vaguely aware. Fear not, but clear away the clouds of doubt, and you will sail to the island of Cyprus, represented in the translation as meaning fearness. Now, what is interesting here is that we're bringing this out because the Seleucids are the ones who are referred to in the book of Maccabees as the particular Greeks who were seeking to wipe out the Yehudi, the Judaic faith, and to kind of Greekize or Hellenize, like to whitewash them, like white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, like counterfeit Christianity. So it's the same principles at work right there. So just bringing out Seleucia, right? Seleucia, Seleucids right there. And let's just go on to just another excerpt once again, part four right here. Here.
Yes, are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel, O children of Israel? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, children of Israel, saith the Lord.
And here, as Harry Belafonte, you know, says to this Euro, white Jew right here.
I don't have to take this crap. I am an angel, and I was sent here to help you, nigger.
Nigger? That's the way a Jewish angel talks?
That's the way a Jewish angel talks.
Sorry, too.
Look, Miskin, sit down.
Although the Jews had won many battles under the brilliant leadership of Judah, the struggle to defeat the Seleucids continued. Since the beginning of their battle for independence, thousands had been murdered in defense of their religion. Pious Jews asked themselves how God could let his people die at the hands of the pagans. From this question arose a concept that would resonate for centuries, the idea of resurrection. Devout Jews believe their current tribulations signal the approach of the apocalypse, the final days of earth. They had faith that God would help them defeat the Seleucids and then miraculously bring back to eternal life those who had been martyred in their cause of freedom.
You dismiss us from this present life, but the King of the universe will raise us up to an everlasting renewal of life, because we have died for his laws. 2 Maccabees 7, 9.
The very terror that was leveled upon the Jews in the time of Antiochus the Fourth and the persecutions prompted this sort of reflection. what's going on before their very eyes was so unthinkable, so unspeakable to people who were otherwise innocent and righteous, that the only way to justify it, to rationalize it, to explain it to oneself is that in the long run, there's going to be a resurrection.
The emperor's viceroy Lysias was not concerned whether Jewish martyrs would enjoy everlasting life. He was determined only that more Jews die. Humiliated by the recent defeat of his most experienced generals at the hands of the Maccabees, he assembled an army of 65,000 and marched into Judea, where the Maccabean rebels awaited them. As the enemy approached Jerusalem, Judah realized the Seleucids would have to break battle formation to traverse a narrow gully. Seizing this opportunity, in a daring attack, Judah isolated and crushed the enemy vanguard. Then, as thousands of arrows rained down, the Maccabees attacked the main body of the Seleucids. Confronted by the implacable warriors of Judah, the Seleucids retreated in confusion and panic. They died by the thousands. Lysias, seeing his huge army disintegrating around him and unable to stage a counterattack, withdrew. He had lost over 5,000 men in only a few hours. With the defeat of Lysias, Judah now controlled all Judea. After 4 years of bloody war, his triumphant forces entered the holy city of Jerusalem. But what they found on the Temple Mount would horrify them. The house of God had been defiled by an altar dedicated to foreign gods.
There they saw the sanctuary desolate, the altar profaned. They saw the chambers of the priests in ruins. Then they tore their clothes and mourned with great lamentation. 1 Maccabees 4:38.
When they came in and they saw these upright stones or whatever they were on the altar, they saw another altar of sacrifice, they were horrified. And they viewed the temple as polluted, as unholy, as impure.
The victorious Jews beheld the devastation of their holy temple, its sacred altar covered with the dried blood of unclean animals. In order to purify the house of God, they scrubbed the temple clean. Then they removed the idols and sacrilegious stones which had been placed on top of the original altar.
We know that the pagan altar was removed. Even the Jewish altar, which had now been profaned by having that pagan one put on top of it, was removed stone by stone and a new one built.
For weeks, the Maccabees puzzled over what to do with the sacred stones from the original altar, which had been desecrated in blasphemous sacrifice by the pagans.
They deliberated what to do about the altar of burnt offering, which had been profaned. They thought it best to tear it down, so they tore down the altar and stored the stones on the temple hill until a prophet should come to tell them what to do with them. 1 Maccabees 4:44.
The books of Maccabees only reveal that the sacred stones were stored somewhere on the temple hill. For centuries, scholars have wondered about their fate.
What happened to the original stones? They seem to have been thrown down by the Greeks or affected in some way, because the Maccabee books tell us that the temple was in ruins, that the buildings had been burned, that there were weeds growing up, that the altar had been desecrated. So there is a mystery there. What did they do with these stones? Where did they put them?
For over 2,000 years, the consecrated stones which made up the original altar have lain hidden and undisturbed. To this day, their whereabouts remain a mystery. Under the supervision of the priests, a new altar was carefully constructed based on the design of the original one. It was a time of exaltation for the faithful.
because the Holy Temple was such a central place of worship and so revered for its holiness by the Jewish people, the ability to restore it and rededicate it after it had been violated had to represent a tremendous spiritual catharsis for the people.
The consecration of their Holy Temple was almost complete. The religious convictions so many had fought and died for had miraculously survived. Here, at the holiest site of all, the Jews would once again worship the God of their fathers. And a miracle was about to occur.
Mysteries of the Bible will be right back.
And here. Once again, that was part four right there of Mysteries of the Bible, Maccabee Revolution, a holy revolution and redemption. As the Maccabee Bible and the Maccabee theme among Rastafari is something the elders have from the very beginning remind us of, the more we study about Maccabees and also the apocryphal books and books like Enoch, the Ethiopic Enoch, as well as Jubilees, it really brings into context the importance of this time period right here and the Maccabee example, the Maccabee struggle. I'd like to share this as well. Concerning the Maccabees, also the idea with the Maccabee revolution and redemption comes forward the idea of the Melchizedek, the priesthood, this emphasis on the priesthood, and many of the movements that we get to see in the New Testament, whether they be the Pharisees, whether they be the Hasidim, the Hasids, whether they be the Essenes, whether they be like the scribes and the Jews in the sense of the religious authorities, they all have their kind of start during the time of the Maccabee Revolution and much of the Reformation. So a lot of the themes that we see in the New Testament, and some would take them as Christian kind of themes, are really Judaic and Hebraic themes that have their birth, or at least their rebirth, during this period of time of the Maccabees. So the ideas concerning Melchizedek and this priesthood and priest order in manifestation, we get to see one of the first times during the times of the Maccabees. So the significance of Hanukkah, of the feast, the festival of lights, the Maccabee fight, the resisting assimilation to the Greeks, resisting assimilation to, we say, white supremacy or the Gentile supremacy is quite significant and helps that seed of the Rastaman and the elders concerning the Maccabee Bible given to black men. What were they pointing to? They was pointing to revolution and redemption, but a holy revolution and redemption, taking the Maccabee example. But we have to study, right? We have to study this so we can show ourselves approve, and we can also put the better practices, you know, principles into practice. So right here, part five right here, just to seal this up right here, this is from Mysteries of the Bible, the Maccabee Revolution and Redemption, reminds me of the tune by Dennis Brown, you know, like talking about revolution. No one's talking about revolution. This is real revolution, right? Both the spiritual and the secular in that sense, but the root is the faith, the true faith of the King of Kings Christ. Here, part five, brothers and sisters, right here, Maccabees.
Against all odds, Judah and his army had successfully recovered the Holy Temple of Jerusalem. Its triumphant rededication would be the crowning glory of the Maccabean struggle.
Then Judah and his brothers and the entire congregation of Israel decreed that the days of the dedication of the altar should be observed with joy and gladness for 8 days at the same season each year. 1 Maccabees 4:59.
Judah ordained that the dedication of the temple should be observed each year as a joyous holiday. The festival of Hanukkah was born. Yet scholars have long wondered why Judah chose to celebrate the new holiday for 8 days. Was he consciously linking himself to biblical events of the past?
He called attention to the fact that when the first temple was built by King Solomon, the festival that celebrated the building of that temple went for 8 days. So Judah was deliberately and conspicuously associating himself with these momentous biblical traditions in order to establish that he is a worthy and legitimate heir to them.
Throughout the centuries around the world, during the 8 days of Hanukkah, Jews light one candle each evening to commemorate the rededication of the temple. But there is also the story of a miracle. It is a tale that is lovingly taught to every Jewish child.
When the Maccabees entered into the Holy Temple after recapturing Jerusalem, they found one small cruse of pure beaten olive oil, which was enough to kindle the candelabra, the menorah, for one day and one night, and the miracle occurred. It lasted for the 8 days and eight nights.
In Jewish homes throughout the world, lights are kindled in a special Hanukkah candelabrum called a menorah. The menorah commemorates the phenomenon of the oil that lasted for 8 days. Yet the story of the miracle of Hanukkah may not be all that it seems.
The miracle of the oil burning for 8 days that was allegedly found in the temple after it was cleansed is a story that doesn't appear in any of our ancient sources. It doesn't appear in 1st or 2nd Maccabees. It doesn't appear anywhere in the sources in antiquity. And we don't know where it came from.
The story of the miraculous container of oil, which endured for 8 days, was written by Jewish scholars over 500 years after the rededication of the temple. Yet why would later writers feel a need to embellish the story?
The actual events of the rededication are not terribly exciting. And my guess is that the rabbis who saw this as the pivotal point, recovery of the temple, purification of the temple, rededication of it to the Jewish faith, felt that somehow this needed a little beefing up, and that the story of the oil lamp would do a job on it that neither 1st and 2nd Maccabees did.
Ironically, and unbeknownst to most people, the most astonishing aspect of the story of the Maccabees, their victories over the Seleucids, their fight to rededicate the temple, and their joyous festival of Hanukkah, is that it is not even mentioned in the Hebrew Bible.
The Maccabee books were frightening, I think, and therefore we find them, of all places, in the Catholic Bible, and they're not in the Jewish Bible at all. You have to go to the Catholic Bible to find what Hanukkah is all about in the Maccabee books.
Why would the triumphant story of Judah, one of the greatest military heroes of the Jews, be left out of the Hebrew Scriptures? Could the overt militancy of the Maccabean texts be the reason?
I think that the rabbinic teachers felt that the Maccabee ethos was too strong for the Jewish people, and it led to these military disasters, the loss of the temple, the loss of nation, of this spirit of unremitting resistance.
Many scholars believe the story was too violent and bloody for inclusion in the canonized version of the Hebrew Bible. Yet the Catholic Church enshrined it in its own canon because the events took place only a short time before the birth of Christ, and because it introduced the idea of religious freedom, a fundamental concept in the development of early Christianity. Much of what we know about this important phase of Jewish history has come down to us in the writings of the historian Josephus Flavius, who lived during the first century of the Common Era. In the year 160 BCE, just 4 years after the rededication of the temple, Judah Maccabee was slain in battle. Only 100 years later, Judea would be invaded by another mighty empire, Rome. Again, the Jews would rise up against their oppressors. But this time, there would be no victory. The Jews would be decimated, their temple totally destroyed, and the survivors dispersed or sold into slavery. More than 1,800 years would pass before the people of Israel would enjoy self-rule in their holy land again. Yet the Maccabeans struggle against the Seleucids to regain the temple and rescue their religion from oblivion has forever changed the world.
The Maccabean Revolt changed history because out of the blue, we had once again a revival of an independent Jewish state. Without this resistance spirit, without this independent polity, you would not get charismatic leaders like Jesus. Without Judas and Hanukkah, I don't believe there would have been a Christianity.
If there had been no Hanukkah, there never would have been a Christmas. If the Hellenists had succeeded and crushed the Maccabean Revolt, the rich, fertile soil from which Christianity was born would never have been there to plow.
Perhaps the significance of Hanukkah and the Jewish revolt does not lie in a miracle or in a military victory at all, but in something far more profound. The struggle of the Maccabees was perhaps the ultimate battle for religious freedom. Since the time of Judah, the flames kindled in Hanukkah candles around the world each year represent a fight for spirituality. It is a battle that resonates from antiquity until the modern day, not only for the followers of Judaism, but for the faithful of all the world's great religions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow, so much packed in right there. We like to unpack that right there. A point right here. The Book of Maccabees is found in the Ethiopic canon of scriptures, not so much the Protestant canon or later-day Protestant canon, found in 1611, was not found, you know, in among the latter-day Jews. Now, there's some important reasons for that is because when we get other Jews becoming, other people becoming Jews, identifying as Jews, we get some of the earliest times, like 740 or so in the 700 AD, that Khazarians, Eastern Europeans, started to identify themselves as Yehudi or Jews. That's like 700-something AD, right? And then even there was a council of Yanai. This is after 70 AD when, as you heard in the documentary audio, that in the time of the Romans, 70 AD, New Testament, say after New Testament times, that there was a resistance against the Romans. Jerusalem was laid siege by Vespasian and his son Titus, and basically it was destroyed, and many ones died, many ones went into captivity, many fled into other parts of the world, particularly into what is called today Africa, or East Africa, the continent of Ethiopia, and continuing forward to the western and east and other places, south as well on the continent of Africa, some even going forward into Europe, some going into Asia. So when we look at the 12 tribes of Israel, we have to recognize the presences in many different lands, but yet there was a great majority that did go southward within to Arabia, some settling in parts like Yemen. We have the Ethiopians making testimony of that. But on the point of Maccabees, the Book of Maccabees is also found in the Ethiopic canon, but the difference is this, is that it's not quite the same Maccabees. It seems as though it is other chapters of the Maccabees that is found in the Ethiopic Book of Maccabees. So we have where it seems as though the Maccabee scriptures was kind of split, even like fourth Book of Maccabees. Many ones and ones might not have come across the fourth Book of Maccabees. So what's interesting is how this vital testimony of the true Yehudi, even the black Jewish people, was suppressed. And you heard it in the audio that, according to some of the later rabbis and scholars, after our people had went into captivity various different ways or enslavement of one sort or another, that it was not something that was promulgated by them, but the whole festival idea of the candles was something that was put forward, or burning the lights, so forth and so on. Now, yes, Hanukkah is in the Bible. It is not found in translation by name in the Old Testament, but it's pointed to in the Old Testament, chapter 7, the first Hanukkah of the Mizbeach. Mizbeach is the altar, was in Numbers chapter 7, where the princes give their gifts. The princes give their gifts for the altar, right? For the altar, for the initiation of the altar, as well as the starting of, we could say, the tabernacle worship. There are 12 princes, and on the first 7 days, we read the offerings of the first 7 princes, and on the 8th day, we read the 5 final offerings of the 5 other princes. So the word dedicating, or dedication, as we find in Numbers chapter 7, the 4th book of Moses, called Bamidbar in the wilderness, that is where the word Hanukkah is found in the Hebrew. And then in John's Gospel, you go to the New Testament, John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 22. Here, let's just share this right here, just so we can get a better groundation on Maccabees. What is Maccabee? Maccabee means hammer. One of the words for hammer is Maccabee, right? So here we have this right here, and from Maccabees, 1 Maccabees chapter 4 here on verse 56, it says, "And so they kept the dedication of the altar, or the Hanukkah." Hanukkah means like initiate. Hanak means to initiate. The name Enoch is Hanok. Hanok, which means like one who's initiated. Hanukkah, in the sense of dedication, means like initiating, the sense of like booting or rebooting in that sense. The dedication of the altar 8 days, and offering burnt offerings with gladness, and sacrifice, the sacrifice of deliverance, and praise, and Isis. Here the footnote says, they kept the dedication of the altar 8 days. They kept the Hanukkah of the Mizbeach for 8 days. The word translated dedication is the word Hanukkah, and this serves to connect this particular feast and this occasion with what we have as the feast of dedication in the New Testament in John chapter 10, verse 22. If you turn your Bibles to John chapter 10, verse 22, it speaks of the feast of dedication, Ionized Livocation, and that is the Hanukkah connected with Maccabees and the book of Maccabees. It was this occasion that the feast of the midwinter feast commemorated. As Solomon, his dedication of Hanukkah feast had lasted for 8 days in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 63 to 66, so Judah or Judas Maccabeus fixed the same term for the duration of his. So we do have this in the book of Maccabees. It's interesting because in the Hebrew calendar, it occurs on the 25th day of the month, Kislev, the 25th. Think about that for a moment with what's coming up in December, and usually it's in the time like December. So here in the Hebrew calendar, it's the 25th of the lunar moon of Kislev. And then we get, you know, the other kind of Christianity or the thing, 25th of December. Just a little note right there. Yes, I, Rastafari. So here, I'm going to ride up right here. Got 52 minutes here on the live stream. And we have today's daily psalm, Psalm 59. Psalm 59, right here. Like to touch on this right here, the offerings here for this particular fifth day of Hanukkah. And here we're on Kislev, the month that's called Kislev, 29th, 5782, corresponding with this Thursday, right, this Thursday, December 2nd. So the reading picking up from Numbers 7, we pick up with verse 36 to Numbers chapter 7, verse 47. So here, Micah and I begin just the offerings right here. This is read, right? Word, sound, and power, the offering, right? The calves of iron lips, word, sound, and power. We don't offer these things, but we recall to memory higher offering, word, sound. Numbers chapter 7, verse 36 right here. B'shem Ha'ab, Wahabain, Weruaha, Kadosh, Yahuwah, Ahad, name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, he who be the one. B'shem Ha'ab, Wawalid, Wamenfis, Kadus, Ahadu, Amlak. Here, fourth book of Moses, called Numbers, Bamidbar, in the wilderness, chapter 7, verse 36. On the fifth day, Shelumiel, the son of Zuri Shaddai, prince Nasi of the children of Shimon of Simeon, did offer. His offering was one silver charger, the weight whereof was 130 shekelim shekels or bur, one silver bowl of 70 shekelim shekels or bur, after the shekel or the bur, the silver currency of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a minka, a meal offering, a grain offering, a bloodless offering. One golden spoon of 10 shekelim full of incense, full of eishin. One young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for olah, a burnt offering, an ascension offering, a holocaust offering, a mikat el miswayet. One kid of the goats for a chatat, a sin offering, an akri offering, and for a sacrifice of shelamim, peace offerings, the dechinet, the denna offerings, well-being offerings, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Shelumiel, the son of Tzuri Shaddai. Here, verse 42. On the sixth day, Eli Asaf, the son of Deuel, prince of the children of Gad. His offering was one silver charger of the weight of 130 shekels, a silver bowl of 70 shekelim, after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil, shemen, for a minka, a meal offering. One golden spoon of 10 shekelim full of eishin, of incense. One young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for olah, burnt offering. One kid of the goats for a chatat, a sin offering. And for a sacrifice of shelamim, peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Eli Asaf, the son of Deuel. So here, for the fifth day, reading from the offerings right there. Here, let's just ride up with a psalm right here, today's daily psalm, and then we'll follow with the reading for day five, chapter five, from the fourth book of Maccabees. Here. Let's pick up with the English and the dub right here, the KJV, the English, the dub right here. We have the dub right here. Here we go right here. The dub right here is Ambush in the Night, because the content and the theme of today's daily psalm, as well as the Maccabee fighting Isla Day. Yes, I. Rastafari.
Psalm 59. Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloody men. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me. Not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me, and behold. Thou therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors. Selah. They return at evening. They make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouth. Swords are in their lips. For who, say they, doth hear? But thou, O Lord, shalt laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. Because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. God of my mercy shall prevent me. God shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies. Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power, and bring them down, O Lord our shield. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride. And for cursing and lying which they speak, consume them in wrath. Consume them that they may not be, and let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth. See. And at evening let them return, and let them make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Let them wander up and down for meat, and grudge if they be not satisfied. But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing. For God is my defense and the God of my mercy. 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 God of my
right up the Royal Amharic, go through today's daily psalm, Psalm 59, which is themed the prayer in danger offered against evils and evildoers. So let's ride up with the Royal Amharic right here, Native Speaker Abraham Chabuda, and then we go through a verse by verse of today's daily psalm here in the season, reason for the season.
Legashun, Agarashu, Memelech, Memelegashun, Zengashwe, Ethiopia Menosh, you know, but I want the next verse with Amharic. But I want the next verse with Amharic.
Here,
Salam to Tena.
Mazmur 58 በቅንፍ 59 ለመዘምራን አለቃ አታጥፋ ታኦል ይገድሉት ዘንድ ቤቱን እንዲጠብቁ በላከ ጊዜ የዳዊት ቅኔ አምላኬ ሆይ ከጠላቶች አድነኝ በላይም ከቆሙት አስጥለኝ ከግፍ አድራጊዎች ታደገኝ ከደም ሰዎችም አድነኝ እነሆ ነፍሴን ሸምቀውባታልና ብርቶችም በላይ ተሰበሰቡ አቤቱ በበደሌም አይደለም በኃጢአቴም አይደለም ያለ በደል ሮጥ ተዘጋጀሁም ተነስ ተቀበለኝ እይም አንተም አቤቱ የሃያላን አምላክ የእስራኤል አምላክ አሕዛብን ሁሉ ትጎበኛቸው ዘንድ ተነስ عمت امي عدر قطر هلو عدت مارانجو ما تايم ملسو اندو شو جميل رابو بكا تمام ميزورو انهو بافاتشو عدتم بثو ينقرالو سيفم بكنفرو تشاتشو عدل ماني سمال يلالو انت جن عبيتو تسكباتشو عدل اهزابنو هلو سنقاتشو عدل اكزيافير متقينونا ኃይሌን ወደ አንተ አስጠጋል ያምላኬ ቸርነቱ ይገናኘኛል አምላኬ በጠላቶቼ ላይ ያሳየኛል ህግህን እንዳይረሱ አትግደላቸው አቤቱ ጋሻዬ በኃይልህ በትናቸው አውርዳቸው ስላፋቸው ኃጢአት ስለከንፈራቸውም ቃል መርገምንና ሐሰትን ስለሚናገሩ በትዕቢታቸው ይጠመዱ በቁጣ አጥፋቸው እንዳይኖርም አጥፋቸው ያዕቆብም አምላክ እስከምድር ዳርቻ ድረስ እንዲገዛ ይወቁ ማታ ይመለሱ እንደው ሾችም ይራቡ በከተማም ይዞሩ እነርሱም መብል ለመፈለግ ይበተኑ ያልጠገቡ እንደሆነም ያንጎራጉራሉ እኔ ግን ለኃይል ህቀኛለሁ በምህረትህም ማልዶ ደስ ይለኛል በመከራዬ ቀን መጠጊያዬና አምባዬ ሆነኸኛልና ረዳቴ ሆይ ላንተ ለአምላኬ ዘምራለሁ አንተ አምላኬ መጠጊያዬ ምህረቴም ነህና
Up the light of this world. Remember now, lines of King David, Ark of the Covenant, Hebrew language, and you must, little children of the world, learn the Ashanti language, learn the ancient Hebrew language, learn the Twi, learn cuneiform, hieroglyphic, Nuwapik, Tamarians, learn them languages there, learn the Amharic language.
Bring forth the Bible, bring forth the Bible, bring forth the Bible. Bring.
Salam to Tena Yistalin, Salam to Tena. Aina Yistling. Greetings, brothers and sisters. Today's daily psalm, according to the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, and here in the royal Amharic, the Mezmore Dawit, Mezmore Hamsa Zetain. Hamsa Zetain, Hamsa Zetain. Psalm 59. Steam Kufuochin, Bemekawem. Bemekawem yekarves elot kufuchin bemekawem yekarves elot a prayer presented in opposition, right, in confronting and in opposition against the evil doers kufuchin bemekawem. Now, in the Sefer Tehillim, Hebraically speaking, you know, from the lower degrees to the high degrees right here, we have this as a prayer in danger, a prayer in danger. Prayer in danger in the English, Kufuochin Bemekawam Yekarebe Selot. A prayer offered, a prayer presented, a selot, yekarebe selot, a prayer brought near, karebe, yekarebe, karebe, he drew near, yekarebe, right, kareb, right, karev, karev, wuga, krav maga, drawing near spiritually, right, spiritual warfare here, kufuochin, bemekawam, yekarebe selot, a prayer in danger, a prayer in opposing, right, in downposing evil and evildoers, in opposition to the evil ops, a prayer presented here in opposition to the evil ops. So here we have the Authorized, Revised Amharic Bible, the Book of the Seven Seals, the Metzhav Kedus, the Book of the Seven Seals of the Conquering Line, the Tribe of Judah, the Root of David, of Germawi Kermawi, Haile Selassie, Siyume Xiavihar, Negusa Neges, Ze Ethiopia. Weep not, behold. So here he's revealed to open the book. So here we take a look in the book, the Authorized, Revised, Amharic Bible, what we refer to here as the HSV, Haile Selassie Version, comparing and contrasting side by side with the KJV, the King James Version. Beginning off with the superscription, Bamarinya Askenmo, firstly in Amharic, Le Mezemran Aleka, Le Mezemran Aleka, to the chief musician or the musician. The musician, Mezemran, Le Mezemran, Le Mezemran, Le Mezemran, Aleka, the chief of the musicians, La Menatziach, in the Hebrew, La Menatziach, to the La, to the Menatziach, Le, to the Mezemran Aleka, Atatifa, 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 Al Tashchet, in the Hebrew, Al Tashchet, Tashchet. KJV has, to the chief musician, Al Tashchet, Tashchet, it says here, some would read as Tas or Tashit, Tashit, Tashchet, in a struggle to try to figure out what is it saying. It's Al Tashchet in the Hebrew, Al Tashchet in the Royal Amharic, Atatifa, Atatifa. Do not destroy, Atatifa, Allah Tashchet, do not destroy, Miktam, it's a Miktam, 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 it's a kinne, golden composition, a kinne, it's a kinne, it's a kinne, right, Ethiopically speaking, a kinne, Miktam, 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 it says, Saul, Ye gedlut zen beitun and diyatev ku be lake gize ye dawit kene ye dawit kene. We have le dawit mikatam mikatam le dawit mikatam ye dawit kene. Saul Saul Saul. Here point at Saul, ye gedlut zen, beitun and diat abuku, belake gize, ye dawit kine, le dawit mikatam, be shiloah, Shaul, why yishmeru etahabait, la hemito, beit, beitun. Saul, ye gedlut zen, beitun indi yatevuku velake gize yedawita kene. When Saul sent, velake gize, when Saul sent and they watched, and they watched the house, beitun indi yatevuku, beitun indi tevuku, wa yishmuru etahavit, Beitun, indeed, Tevuku, when they watch the house to kill him. Yigedlut zen, lahimito, 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 to kill David. So we have the superscription right here, today's daily psalm right here, prayer in danger. Kufuotchin bem mekawim yekreves selot. A prayer brought near right here. Kufuotchin bem mekawim, opposing, confronting, and opposing evil. Besimav wewelid wamenfesu kedus ahadu amlak kuter an. Verse 1. Amlake hoy kat ratoche adnein belayim ka komutas teleng. Deliver, I live, I from mine enemies. Oh my God, oh my source. Amlake hoy, defend me, defend I from them that rise up against me from them that rise up against I. Kat latoche adnein belayim ka komutas tlein ka gufadragi wocha tadegain ka demas wochim adnein. Deliver, I liver I from the workers of iniquity, and save me, save I from bloody men. Kaguf adragi wocha tadegain ka demas wochim adnein. Inho nefsin ashem ko batalin na bertu wochim belayete sebesevu avetu bebedele my dele bechet yate my dele. For lo, look, inho, here it is. They lie in wait for my soul. Nefsin Hashem ko batalina. The mighty are gathered against me. The mighty are gathered against I. Bertu ochim belaye teseves sabu. Not for my transgression. Avetu bebedele my delem. Nor for my sin. Oh, Abitu. Oh, I father, his father. Oh, father of the house. Abitu. Bebedele, my delem. Bechat yate, my delem. Yale bedela rotuhu, tesegajuhu. Tenesa tekevelain. Yim. They run and prepare themselves without fault. Awake to help I, and behold. Now it's interesting here, as well as in the Septuagint, we have Yale Bedel, without fault. Here it says Yale Bedel Rotohu, I ran to Zagad Jehum, and I prepared. Tenes, rise up, arise. Arise, awake, tennis, tekebeling, 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 Kabbalah I, receive I, tekebeling, tekebeling, iyim, 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 and see, yale bedela rotohu zizagad shahum, tennis, tekebeling, tekebeling, iyim. Antem avitu, yehayalan amlak, yisrael amlak, ahzabino hulu tegwebenyacho zen, tenes, ametza yemiyadergutin hulu atamaracho. Thou therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Yisrael, antem, Avetu, our father's father, O father of the house. Yehayalan amlak. Yisrael amlak. Ahzabin hulu tegwebenya chosen. Tenes. Awake to visit all the heathen, all the nations, all the peoples. Ahzabin hulu tegwebenya chosen. Tenes. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors. Selah. Mata yimelesu. Inda wishochim yirabu. Bekatamama yizuru. They return at evening. They make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Mata imelesu in the wishochim yirabu bekatamama yizuru inahu bafachoa semto inagralu seifin seifima beken forochacho al man yisamal yelalu. Behold, they belch out with their mouth. Swords are in their lips. For who, say they, doth hear Ineho, rafacho asemto yinagralo. Seifim abekin furuchacho al mani samal hilalo. Antegin avetu. Tisik avachual azabnim mohulua tinak achual. But thou, the I, Abitu, I father, his father, O father, the house, shalt laugh at them. Tisik bachuale, thou shalt have all the heathen, all the nations, all the Gentile, all the peoples in derision. Azabnim hulu. Tinnat achual egziawi her met egiaye nwinna hailema wada anta asat egal. Because of his strength will I wait upon the eye. For God, the true good, Egaziavihar, the sustainer, the good, the generous Ab, Father, is my defense, my refuge. Egaziavihar, met Egiayenuna, Chaylim, what anta asat egal. Yamla ke chernetu ye agenanyal amla ke ratoche la yasayenyal. The God, the good, the source of my mercy shall prevent, I shall visit, I shall meet, I yamla ke chernetu ye agenanyal. Amlaki, my source, shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies. Bet alatoche lai yasayinyal. Bet alatoche lai yasayinyal. Higahin indaya resua. Ata atigdelacho abetu kashayi behailhe betenacho awurdacho. Slay them not, lest my people forget. Higahin and die resu, so that the eyes hig, the eyes tor, the eyes law be not forgotten. Higahin and die resu, atigdelacho, don't slay them not, lest my people forget, lest the law be forgotten. Scatter them by thy power and bring them down. O Lord, our shield, Avetu, our father's father, father of the house, Gashayi, my shield, Behailehe, Betanacho, Awurdachuim, Silafacho, Wachat Yata, Silakanferachuim, Makal, Mergamina, Hesetina, Silamia Nagaru, Bet Bitachoa, Yitemedu. For the sin, the uckery of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride. And for cursing and lying which they speak. Sila facho hat yata, sila kanferacho wimkal, mergamina hasetina, salaminagaru, bet evitacho yit emedu, bekutat facho. And I in a room at a facho. Yeah, ya ikobim mamla kiskamitr dat address in digaza yuaku. Consumed in wrath. Consumed that they may not be. And let them make them know that make them know that the Amlak, the source of Jacob, ruleth, that Amlak, the source, ruleth in Jacob, even to the ends of the earth, Selah. Bekutah, Bekutah tfacho, Endai norumat tfacho, Yeya ekobe mamlak, Iskamidr dacha dresa, Indigeza yuaku, Mata yimelesu, Inda wishochim yirabu, Bekatamama yuzuru, And at evening, let them return, Mata Imelesu, and let them make a noise like a dog, like dogs. In the Wishochim Yerabo, in the Wishochim Yerabo, let them be hungry, right, like dogs, starving like dogs. In the Wishochim Yerabo, the Katamama Yizuru. And go round about the city. And arsuma mebila le mefelega yibetenu. Yala egevu indahonem yana gore guralu. Let them wander up and down. Up and down, let them wander up and down for meat. For meal, for food, and arsuma mebila le mefelega yibetenu, and grudge if they be not satisfied. Yala tegevu endahonem, yana gure guralu, inegin le hailihe kenyalo. Bemehiretihima maldo desilenyal. Bemekrayik en metekyayena mbayi honehenyalina. But I will sing of thy power. Inegin le hailihe ikenyalo. I will compose to thy hail. Le hailihe, le hailihe. Ikenyalo, bemehiretihima maldo, desayilenyal. I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. Bemehiretihima maldo, desayilenyal. Bemekrayik en metagiyayina mbaye honehinyalina. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Redate hoy, leante leamlake zemralo, ante amlake metegiaye mehirete manehina. For to thee I, O my strength, O my helper, redate hoy, my helper, my strength, my helper, redate hoy, leante leamlake zemralo. Will I sing, will I chant Isis to the eye, my source, leante leamlake zemralo. Ante amlake metegiyayi mihirete manehina. For my source, the eye, my source, my defense, the source of my mercy and my mercy.
Spiritual war, spiritual wickedness in high and low places. Rastafari's on the battlefield. Sure. I and I are soldiers fighting for truth and right. Rastafari soldiers, and we never give up the fight. I and I are soldiers fighting for truth and right. Rastafari soldiers, and we never give up the fight. So we ain't got no guns and bombs, a big up bomb up no one. No tomahawk missile and no nuclear weapon. No scud, no rocket launcher and no battalion. No tanks and no battleship with ammunition. What we have is the power from the Almighty One. Just the peace and the love and the vibration. All over the world, Rasta name is strong, and we never invaded no one. I and I are soldiers fighting for truth and right. Rastafari soldiers, and we never give up the fight. Cause it's a spiritual war, and one that's the real revolution. Guns and wars cannot be the solution. Babylon a trick the people with them illusions, causing the chaos and a pure confusion. They got their weapons of steel. They say them come to destroy. Rasta come here for heal. Rastafari is with buckler and shield. The people's minds are the real battlefield. I and I are soldiers fighting for truth and right. Rastafari soldiers, and we never give up the fight. That's right, I and I are soldiers fighting for truth and right. Rastafari soldiers, and we never give up the fight. Say I have been here, the Rastaman sound. Say anytime they hear the sound, the Babylon start mound. Many Rastafari people are around. Many rats in every country, many cities and towns. Yes, I unite upon the battleground. Fighting spiritual wickedness wherever it's found. Hot of fire, lightning and brimstone. Pity the wicked, do not leave us alone. Cause I and I are soldiers fighting for truth and right. Rastafari soldiers, and we never give up the fight. That's right, I and I are soldiers fighting for truth and right. Here's Selassie, I soldiers, and we never give up the fight. Alright, when I go follow with them fashion and trend. A Rastafari, we defend a Rastafari to the end. A Rastafari, never bow and never bend. We hailing Emperor Selassie, I and Empress Menen. Rastafari and the wicked are no friends. We burn them out from away back when. On material things you don't depend. We tell them once, we are gonna tell them again. I and I are soldiers fighting for truth and right. Rastafari soldiers, and we never give up the fight. Alright, I and I are soldiers fighting for truth and right. Rastafari soldiers, and we never give up the fight.
wicked a go crumble. Baby Bible, shout up two songs and the wicked them tremble. Live by Baby Bible, shout up two songs and the wicked them tremble.
Many are calling, no? Many are called but few are choosing. Many are called but few are choosing. I was called and I was chosen. It's funny, but it's true.
Calling, calling, calling to hear the full of full now, or hopefully catch it on the replay. 515-602-9761 to hear the full of full now. Calling, 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 calling. 515-602-9761. Calling 515-602-9761. Calling 515-602-9761.
Aviva, it's time to open the door for Eliyahu.
The fourth book of Maccabees, chapter 5. A chapter of horror and torture, revealing ancient tyranny at its utmost savagery. Verse 26 is profound truth. And thus, no sooner did the tyrant conclude his urging of them to eat unclean meat, than all with one voice together, and as with one soul, said to him, Why dost thou delay, O tyrant? We are ready to die, rather than transgress the commandments of our fathers. For we should be putting our ancestors also to shame, if we did not walk in obedience to the law. And take Moses as our counselor. O tyrant, thou counselest us to transgress HaTorah. Thou counselest us to transgress the law. Do not, hating us, pity us beyond ourselves. For we esteem thy mercy, giving us our life in return for a breach of the law of HaTorah, a thing harder to bear than death itself. Thou wouldest terrify us with thy threats of death, under torture, as if a little while ago thou hast learnt nothing from Eleazar. But if the old men of the Hebrews endured these tortures for righteousness' sake, yea, until they died, more befittingly will we young men die, despising the torments over which he, our age teacher, also triumphed. Make trial, therefore, O tyrant, and if thou takest our lives for the sake of righteousness, think not that thou hurtest us with thy tortures. For we, through this our evil entreatment, and our endurance of it, shall win the prize of virtue. But thou, for our cruel murder, shall suffer at the hands of divine justice, sufficient torment by fire forever. These words of the youth redoubled the wrath of the tyrant, not at their disobedience only, but at what he considered their ingratitude. So by his orders, the scourgers brought forward the eldest of them and stripped him of his garments and bound his hands and his arms on either side with thongs. But when they had scourged him till they were weary and gained nothing, thereby they cast him upon the wheel. And on it the noble youth was racked till his bones were out of joint. And as joint after joint gave way, he denounced the tyrant in these words, O thou most abominable tyrant, thou enemy of the justice of heaven, and bloody-minded, thou dost torment me in this fashion, not for manslaying nor for impiety, but for defending the Torah of Elohim, the law of God. And when the guard said to him, Consent to eat, so you may be released from your tortures, he said to them, Your method, O miserable minions, is not strong enough to lead captive my reason. Cut off my limbs and burn my flesh and twist my joints. Through all the torments, I will show you that in behalf of virtue, the sons of the Hebrews alone are unconquerable. As he thus spake, they set hot coals upon him besides, and intensifying the torture, strained him yet tighter on the wheel. And all the wheel was besmeared with his blood, and the heaped coals were quenched by the humors of his body dropping down, and rent flesh ran round the axles of the machine. and with his bodily frame already in dissolution, the gray-souled youth, like a true son of Abraham, grown not at all, but as if he were suffering a change by fire into incorruption, he nobly endured the torment, saying, "Follow my example, O brothers. Do not forever desert me, and forswear not our brotherhood and nobility of soul. War a holy and honorable warfare on behalf of righteousness. Through that, may the just providence that watched over our fathers become merciful to his people and take vengeance on the accursed tyrant." And with these words, the holy youth yielded up the ghost. But while all were wondering at his constancy of soul, the guards brought forward the second in age of the sons, grappling him with sharp clawed hands of iron to the engines and the catapult. But when they heard his noble resolve in answer to their question, would he rather eat than be tortured, these panther-like beasts tore at his sinews with claws of iron and rent away all the flesh of his cheeks and tore off the skin from his head. But he steadfastly enduring this agony said, "How sweet is every form of death for the sake of the righteousness of our fathers." And to the tyrant he said, "O most ruthless of tyrants, does not it seem to thee that at this moment thou thyself sufferest tortures worse than mine in seeing thy tyranny's arrogant intention overcome by my endurance for righteousness' sake? For I am supported under pain by the joys that come through virtue, whereas thou art in torment, whilst glorying in thy impiety. Neither shalt thou escape, O most abominable tyrant, the penalties of the divine wrath." And when he had bravely met his glorious death, the third son was brought forward, was earnestly entreated by many to taste, and so to save himself. But he answered in a loud voice, "Are ye ignorant that the same father begot me and my brothers that are dead, and the same mother gave us birth, and in the same doctrines, teachings was I brought up? I do not forswear the noble bond of our brotherhood. Therefore, if ye have any engine of torment, apply it to this body of mine, for my soul ye cannot reach, not if ye would." But they were greatly angered at the bold speech of the man, and they dislocated his hands and his feet with their dislocating engines, and wrenched his limbs out of their sockets, and unstrung them. And they twisted around his fingers, and his arms, and his legs, and his elbow joints. And in no wise being able to strangle his spirit, they stripped off his skin, taking the points of the fingers with it, and tore in Scythian fashion the scalp from his head, and straightway brought him to the wheel. And on this they twisted his spine till he saw his own flesh hanging in strips and great gouts of blood pouring down from his entrails. And at the point of death he said, "We, O most abominable tyrant, suffer thus for our upbringing and our virtue that are of Elohim. But thou, for thy impiety and cruelty, shall endure torments without end." And when this man had died worthily of his brothers, they brought up the fourth and said to him, "Be not thou also mad with the same madness as thy brethren, but obey the king and save thyself." But he said to them, "For me, ye have no fire so exceeding hot as to make me a coward. By the blessed death of my brethren, by the eternal doom of the tyrant, and by the glorious life of the righteous, I will not deny my noble brotherhood. Invent tortures, O tyrant, in order that thou mayest learn thereby that I am a brother of those who have been already tortured." When he heard this, the bloodthirsty, murderous, and utterly abominable Antiochus bade them cut out his tongue. But he said, "Even if thou dost remove my organ of speech, Elohim is a hearer also of the speechless. Lo, I put out my tongue, ready. Cut it out, for thou shalt not thereby silence my reason. Gladly do we give our bodily members to be mutilated for the cause of Elohim. But Elohim will speedily pursue after thee, for thou cuttest out the tongue that sang songs of praise to him. But when this man also was put to death of agony with the tortures, the fifth sprang forward, saying, I shrink not, O tyrant, from demanding the torture for virtue's sake. Yea, of myself I come forward, in order that slaying me also, thou mayest by yet more misdeeds increase the penalty thou owest to the justice of heaven. O enemy of virtue, and enemy of man, for what crime dost thou destroy us in this way? Does it seem evil to thee that we worship the Creator of all and live according to his virtuous law? But these things are worthy of honors and not tortures, if thou didst understand human aspirations and had hope of salvation before Elohim. Lo, now thou art Elohim's enemy and makest war on those that worship Elohim. As he spake thus, the guards bound him and brought him before the catapult, and they tied him thereto on his knees, and fastening them there with iron clamps, they wrenched his loins over the rolling wedge, so that he was completely curled back like a scorpion, and every joint was disjointed. And thus in grievous strait for breath and anguish of body, he exclaimed, Glorious, O tyrant, glorious against thy will are the boons that thou bestowest on me, enabling me to show my fidelity to the law, to HaTorah, through yet more honorable tortures. And when this man also was dead, the sixth was brought, a mere boy, who in answer to the tyrant's inquiry, whether he was willing to eat and be released, said, I am not so old in years as my brethren, but I am as old in mind. For we were born and reared for the same purpose, and are equally bound also to die for the same cause. So if thou choosest to torture us for not eating unclean meat, torture. As he spake these words, they brought him to the wheel, and with care they stretched him out and dislocated the bones of his back and set fire under him. And they made sharp skewers, red hot, and ran them into his back, and piercing through his sides, they burned away his entrails also. But he, in the midst of his tortures, exclaimed, O contest worthy of saints, wherein so many of us brethren in the cause of righteousness have been entered for a competition in tortures, and have not been conquered. For the righteous understanding, O tyrant, is unconquerable. In the armor of virtue I go to join my brothers in death, and to add in myself one strong avenger more to punish thee, O deviser of the tortures and enemy of the truly righteous. We six youths have overthrown thy tyranny, for is not thy impotence to alter our reason or force us to eat unclean meat and overthrow for thee? Thy fire is cool for us. Thy engines of torture torment not, and thy violence is impotent. For the guards have been officers for us, not of a tyrant, but of the divine law. And therefore have we our reason yet unconquered.
All rise. Court is now in session. where the guilty must be exposed.
He him is more non tate, nun tate, nun tate, non tate. Psalm 59. He Psalm 59. Psalm 59 is more nun tate, non tate. Psalm LIX. Midrash, study on today's song. La menatzeach al tashchet ledawi miktam bi shloach shaul vayishmeru et habayit la hemito. To the eternal God, do not destroy David. Miktam, when Saul sent and they watched the house to kill him. La menatzeach al tashchet l'dawid. To the eternal God. La menatzeach, la menatzeach. To the eternal, to the overcomer, to the eternal God. La menatzeach, who said, al tashchet Lidawi, do not destroy David. Miktam, a miktam. When Saul sent, be Shiloah, Shaul, and they watched the house. Vayishmeru et habayit, to kill him. Lahemito. La hemito, to dead on him. La hemito. La natseach al tashchet ledawi. Miktam bi shloach shaul. Vayishmeru et habayit. La hemito. He hears today's psalm. Hebraically, the first verse, the aleph verse. Psalm 59. Mizmor. Non eit nun tet. These words here are to be considered in the light of what scripture says elsewhere. But first, a midrash note. Do not destroy. Al tashchet. Do not destroy. Do not downstroy. For the leader, or for the chief musician, or for the overcomer. Lamnatzeach al tashchet. Do not downstroy, do not destroy. Le David of David, a song. In the KJV and other Bibles, italicized. In the KJV Bible, italicized a song. Does not appear here. Lanatzeach al tashchet le David. For the chief musician, al tashchet of David. To the eternal God, who said, al tashchet le David. Do not destroy David. Miktam. When Shaul sent, be Shiloah, Shaul, and they watched the house. Vayishmeru et habayit, to dead on him, to kill him. Lahamito. Here. Let's touch on Miktam. Here from the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, a Miktam. What is a Miktam? Miktam, hebraically defined as a writing. Miktam, a prescript, a miktam. A poem, a miktam. A psalm or a type of psalm, a miktam. A song, a golden psalm, a miktam. Precious verse, a miktam. An epigram, a miktam. A preeminent inscription, a miktam. Miktam, a word mentioned in the titles of Psalms 16, Psalm 56,
Psalm 57, Psalm 58, Psalm 59, and Psalm 60. The metaphy cycle, the metaphysical of Miktam, the entrance into consciousness of wise, inspiring, harmonious, uplifting thoughts of substance and truth, and the inscribing of these truth ideals in the memory, in the phrase golden song, miktam, maktam. Golden suggests wisdom, chokmah, and substance. Writing precious verse, a poem intended to record memorable thoughts for the memory. Writing makes one think of something uplifting and inspiring, while both poem and song signify inspiration, the spirit within, inspiration and rhythm or harmony. Miktam. Ani lechozir, I repeat. Lam natayach al tashachet ledawi. Miktam. Di shloach shaul. Vayishmeru et habayit lahamito. To the eternal God who said, do not destroy David, Miktam. When Saul sent, and they watched the house to kill him, to dead on him. First verse, Hebraically here. Superscription in other Bibles, the first verse, Hebraically here, the Aleph verse. These words, El Hadbarim, these words are to be read in the light, in the illumination, what scripture says elsewhere, even in Kohelet, in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9a, verse 10a, and verse 12, that reads, two are better than one, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, and if a man prevail against him that is alone, two shall withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Kohelet, Ecclesiastes, the preacher. Tovim ha-shinayim min ha-echad asha yesha lahem sakar toba ba'et malam ki'ima yupolu ha-echad ha-yakima et ha-chevero ve'ayilo ha-echad ha-she-yipola ve'ayna shneya la-hikimo ve'ayima yitakefoa ha-echad ha-shinayima ya'amdu נגדוה והחוטה המשולה שלוה ומהרה ינתק. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Obim hashnaim min ha'echad asha yesh lahem sakar toba ba'emala. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, and hath not another to lift him up. Ki ima yipolu ha'echad yakim et ha'chebero. ויילו האחד שיפול ואין השני עלה הקימו. And if a man prevail against him that is alone, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly
broken.
It is better that two men, two are better than one. Two are better than one. Hear Midrash note. With this passage are cited four of its expositions, the last of which applies to this psalm, to this mizmor. Two are better than one. Ovim hashnaim min ha'echad. Two are better than one. Ovim hashnaim min ha'echad. It is better that two men go forth on the highway than that one man go forth alone. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Ki im yipol ha'echad yakim eta chevero eta chebero. For if they fall, ki im yipolu, the one ha'echad will lift up yakim eta chebero, will lift up his chaber, his chebero, his fellow chaberim, will lift up his chebero. Ki im yipolu ha'echad yakim eta chebero. If either falls, his companion, Chibero, will lift him up. And if a man prevail against him, that is alone, all one, alone, two shall withstand him. Weima yita kefoa ha echada ha shnaima ya amdua negdo. And if a man prevail against him, that is alone, or one alone. With ima yitakefo ha echad, two shall withstand him. Hashnaim yamdu negdo. If a rasha, a ratchet man, a wicked man comes at one of the two can withstand him. And if three men go forward, it is best, for a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Where hachuta Hamashulasha loa bimhera yinatek. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We hachuta hamshulash lo bimhera yinatek. Another exposition on two are better than one. Obim ha shnaim min ha echad. Two are better than one. Better tobim. Two ha shnaim than one. Min ha echad. It is better to be a righteous man, a tzaddik, and the son of a tzaddik, a righteous man, than to be a righteous man, a tzaddik, and the son of a rasha, a ratchet man, a wicked man. For the merit of the one tzaddik, righteous man, is not to be compared with the merit of the two, whose reward is such that if adversity should befall the family, the merit of the two will stand by to save it. And if there are three, a righteous man, a tzaddik, the son of a tzaddik, a righteous man, and the grandson of a tzaddik, a righteous man, their merit will never, never ever break apart, as is said of a threefold cord. Hahuta Hamashulash, threefold cord. Hahut Hamshulash. It was asked of Rav Zaera, but was not Kle Kle Gele Gele so-and-so a tzaddik, a righteous man, and the Bane, the son of a tzaddik, a righteous man, and the grandson of a tzaddik, a righteous man? And yet the fourth generation was Rasha, was ratchet, was wicked. Rav Zaera replied, Shlomo, Solomon did not say a threefold cord is never broken, but that it is not quickly broken. Lo, bimhera, ye natek, not quickly broken. Even if it be broken, it will again be made whole. As is said even in Yeshayahu, Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 59, verse 21, my words shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth, here forward, and forever, and forever. Vanizota Briti Otam Amaria Ruchia Shara Aleka Ua Devaraya Shara Samatia Bitfika Loaya Mushua Mipika Ua Mipia Zareka Ua Mipia Zeraa Zareka Amariawa Meata Veata Olam. As for me, Wani, and as for I, and as for me, Wani, this is my covenant with them. Zot Briti Otam, saith he who be, we be, Amar Yahweh, saith Jehovah, my spirit, Ruchi, my spirit that is upon thee, Ruchi, Asher Aleka, and my word that I have put in thy mouth, U Debarai Asher Samatia Besika, shall not depart out of thy mouth. Lo Yamushua Mipika, nor out of the mouth of thy seed. Ua Mipi Zareka, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed. O Mipi Zara Zareka, saith he who be, who he be, Amar Yahuwah, saith Jehovah, me ata ve'ad olam, from hence forward, from now, me ata, and for Iva, ve'ad olam. Wani, zot briti otam, Amar Yahuwah, Ruchi asher aleka, ua devarai asher samtia befika, lo yamushua miyapika,
uwa mipia za eka, uwa mipia za raa za reka, amari ya uwa ne ata wa ada olam. For if a man is a disciple, a talmid, a deka mezmor, if a man is a talmid, a disciple of the wise, and so is Beino Lidju, his son, and his son's son. The words of Torah, the words of Torah, the teaching, Jah's direction, instruction, the words of Torah will never wholly, completely depart from them, since it is said, from henceforth, from here forward, and forever. Me ata wa ada olam. Indeed, what can saith the Lord? What can Amar Yahweh, saith he who be, who be, saith Jehovah, Amar Yahweh, mean except that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be he, declared, I pledge myself, I pledge myself to this. Another exposition, two are better, two are better. Tovim ha-shenayim, tovim ha-shenayim, tovim ha-shenayim. The phrase, two are better, tovim ha-shenayim. This alludes to Michal, the daughter of Shaul, and to Jonathan, to Jonathan, both of whom loved David, both of whom loved David. It is written of Michal in 1 Shemuel, 1 Samuel 18:28, and Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. Wate ehava mikala bata Shaul eta Dawida wayagidu le Shaul wayayishara hadavara de ainayo. Hear the fuller verse, 1 Samuel 18:20. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. Wate ehaba Michal bata Shaul eta Dawi wayagidua le Shaul wayayishara hadabara beainayo. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him, loved David. Wate ehab Michal bata Shaul eta Dawi. And it is written of Jonathan, of Jonathan, in 1 Samuel 18:1. And Jonathan and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Vayehia kalotto wale davira ella Shaula binefesha Yehonatana nikashara binefesha Dawida vayaye havehua Yehonatana kenasho. Full of verse right here. 1 Shemuel, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking to Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Wayehi ke kaloto alidabir illa Shaul with nefesha Yehonatana and Nika Shara be nefesha David waye habehu Yehonatan ke nafsho.
Michal, Michal saved David, saved David from danger inside the house, inside Habayit. And Yonatan, Jonathan from danger outside the house, outside Habayit. Hence, the two are better than one. Hence, Torim ha-shenayim min ha-echad. Hence, two are better than one. And a threefold cord. And ha-chuta ha-mashulash. A threefold cord was made by adding the love of Yisrael and Yehuda, the love of Israel and Judah for David. For David. As it is said, even in 1 Shemuel, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 16, all Israel and Judah loved David. V'kol Yisrael lavi Yehuda oheva et David, ki hu yotzeya vava lifnehem. And here, the fuller verse. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. We call Israel, we Huda, Ohe, Baeta, David, Ki Hu Yotzei, Waba, Lifnehem. Hence, here. It is written to the eternal God who said, do not destroy David, Miktam, when Saul sent and they watched the house to kill him and they watched the house to dead on him. Lamnatzeach ala tashacheta ledawi Miktam di shloach Shaul. Vayishmeru et habayit lahemito. Another comment, the words, two are better than one. Ovim ha-shenayim min ha-echad, two are better than one, are to be read in the light of what Scripture says elsewhere, even in Mishle Shlomo, in the Mashal, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, where it reads, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a great good. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a great good. Mata isha mata tov. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a great good. Mata isha. Whoso findeth a wife, mata Tob. Findeth a great good. Findeth Tob. Mata Isha, Mata Tob. Yet, in still another place, scripture is saying, I find more bitter than death the woman, according to Ecclesiastes Kohelet, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 26. I find more bitter than death the woman. Umotze ani mar mia mavet eta haisha. And I find more bitter than death the woman. Uamotse ani mara mia mawet eta haisha. What scripture means, however, is that if she is a good wife, a good isha, there's no end to her goodness. But if she is a bad wife, a bad isha, there is no end to her badness. There's no end to her badness. Hence, hear. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a great good. Mata isha, mata tob. We find that before woman was created, it is written even in Bereishis, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. It is not good that the man should be alone. It is not good that the man should be alone. All one. Vayomer Yahweh Elohim, lo tov. Heyota ha'adam levado, and he who be who he be, Elohim said, Vayomer Yahweh Elohim, it is not good, lo tov, that the man should be alone. Heyot ha'adam levado. Vayomer Yahweh Elohim, lo tov, heyot ha'adam levado. But that after she was created, it is written, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Even in Bereishis, in Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Vayar Elohim et kol asher asa v'hine tov me'od. And Elohim saw, Vayar Elohim, everything that he had made, et kol asher asa, and behold, v'hine, it was very good, v'hine tov me'od. Vayar Elohim et kol asher asa, v'hine tov me'od. Hence, hear. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a great good. Mata isha, mata tov. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a great good. Mata isha, mata tov. Our masters taught, a man without a wife lives without blessing, without life, without joy, without help, without good, and without peace. Without bracha, without blessing. For it is said, even in Bereishis, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, and God blessed them. Vayvarekotam Elohim, and Elohim blessed them. Vayvarek otam Elohim. That is to say, bless them when they were two. Without joyful life, for it is said, even in Kohelet, in Ecclesiastes, the preacher, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9, enjoy life with the wife whom thou lovest. Enjoy life, liberty. Enjoy life with the wife whom thou lovest. Re'eya chayim, chayim, isha asher ahavta. Enjoy life with the wife whom thou, the I, lovest. Re'ei chayim, chayim, isha, asher, ahabta. Without joy, for it is said, have joy of the wife of thy youth. Here in the Mashal and Proverbs, in Mishle Shlomo, the Proverbs of Solomon, Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18. For it is said, have joy of the wife of thy youth. Usamach me esheta ne'oreka, and have joy. Usamach of the wife, may eshet of thy youth, ne'oreka. Usamach may esheta ne'oreka. Without help, for it is said, I will make him a help meet for him. I will make him a help meet for him. Here, Bereshith, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Eise lau ezer kenegdo. I will make him a help meet for him. Eise lau, I will make for him. Eise lau ezer kenegdo, a help meet for him. Ezer, help, kenegdo. Eiselawu, ezer, kenegdo. Without good, for it is said, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a great good. Mata isha, mata to. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a great good. Mata isha, mata to. Mishle Shlomo, Proverbs of Solomon, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22. Without peace, for it is said, even in Job chapter 5, verse 24, and thou shalt know that thy tent is in peace. And thou shalt know that thy tent is in peace. V'yada'ita ki shalom aholeka. And thou, the eye, shalt know that thy tent is in peace. V'yada'ita ki shalom aholeka. And yada'ita, the eye, male, shalt know. With yada'ita, key, that, shalom, key, shalom, that peace, that shalom, aholeka, thine, the eye, male, tent. With yada'ita, key, shalom, aholeka, tent. Ahol, ahal, ahol, aholeka, thy tent, plainly meaning wife, plainly, meaning wife. The word tent, Hebraically, aholeka, aholeka, thy ohel, thy tent, plainly means wife, isha. As in the verse in Devarim, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 27, that reads, go say to them, return y'all to your tents. Go, say to them, return ye to your tents. Lech emor lahem, shuvu lachem le'aholechem. Go, lech, say to them, emor lahem, return ye, return y'all, shuvu lachem. To your tents, le a holekem, lek emor lahem, shuvu lakem, le a holekem. Some say that a man without a wife, without a isha, an eshet, an orset, lives also without Torah, without Torah, teaching, directions, instructions. For it is said, if I have no help with me, then sound wisdom is driven quite from me. Hear, 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 Eov, Job. Job chapter 6 verse 13. If I have no help with me, then sound wisdom is driven quite from me. Haim ein ezrati yavi, v'toshiya nidacha mimeni. Is it that I have no help with me? Haim ein ezrati bi, and that sound wisdom v'toshiya. And that sound wisdom is driven quite from me, quite from I, with Toshia Nidacha Mimeni. Haim Ein Azrati Bi, with Toshia Nidacha Mimeni. Another comment, when a wife, an Isha, an Eshet, an Orset, when a wife is good, a man findeth a great good. But when a wife is bad, she drains the good things, the good things, all of them, out of his house and makes him a poor man. And here, a midrash note on when a wife, an Isha, Esha, Orset is good, a man findeth a great good. But when a wife is bad, she drains. Hear, Midrash note. Here, Hebraically, this is a play on the Hebrew words matzah, find, and matzah, drain. Here we have a play on the Hebraic words matzah, find, and matzah, drain. Ani lechozer, I repeat, when a wife is good, a man findeth a great good. But when a wife is bad, she drains the good things, all of them, out of his house and makes him a poor man. But if she is good, what is written of her? What is written of her? And here, Proverbs, the Mashal, Mishlei Shlomo, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, or a virtuous wife. Hebraically, Eshet Chayil Iteret
Et ba'ilaha. Esheta chayil. Et ba'ilaha. A virtuous woman, a strong woman. Eshet chayil, chayil, strong. Eshet chayil, a strong woman. Itaret crown, ba'ilaha, a crown to ba'ilaha, ba'ilaha, to her husband, ba'ilaha. Eshet chayil, itareta ba'ilaha. And it's also written in the Mishle Shlomo, in the Proverbs of Solomon, a woman of valor, a virtuous woman, a virtuous wife, who can find? Here, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. Eshet chayil miya yimsa. A woman of valor, a strong woman, Eshet Chayil, a virtuous woman, Eshet Chayil, a virtuous wife, a strong wife, Eshet Chayil, Oset Chayil, Eshet Chayil, Mi Yimsa? A woman of valor, a virtuous woman, who can find Mi Yimsa? And of her husband, ba'ilaha, ba'ilaha, of her husband, it is said even in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, he obtaineth favor of the Lord. He obtaineth favor of the Lord. Vayasek ratzon, me Yehovah. And obtaineth favor of Jehovah, of he who be who he be. Wayafek ratzon me Yehovah. And also it is written, even in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14, a prudent wife is from the Lord. A prudent woman, a prudent wife is from the Lord, is from Jehovah. Ua me Yehovah, Isha ma sikalet. But a prudent wife, and a prudent wife, a prudent woman, Isha, is from he who be who he be. Ua me Yehovah, Isha ma sikalet. Come see how solemn is the estate of marriage. In the Pentateuch, in the prophets, and in the writings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, links His own name, the Hashem, with marriage. In the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moshe, the Pentateuch, it is written, even in Bereshit, in Genesis chapter 24, verse 50. Then Laban and Betuel answered and said, The thing proceedeth from the Lord, the thing proceedeth from Jehovah, from he who be who he be. Vayan lavana ua vituela vayomru me Yehovah yatsa hadavar. Then Laban and Betuel answered and said, Vayan lavana ua vituela vayomru. The thing proceedeth from he who be who he be. Me Yehovah yatsa hadavar. In the prophets HaNevim, it is written, even in Judges chapter 14, verse 4.
But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord. But his father and his mother knew not that it was from and it was of Jehovah, that it was of he who be who he be. Ve avio ve im lo yad o ki meoa. But his father we abio and his mother we imo knew not lo yad o that it was of he who be who he be, that it was of Jehovah. Ki Mayahuah. With Abio, with him, lo yado, ki Mayahuah. And in the writings, in the Ketuvim, it is said even in Proverbs, in the Mashal, a prudent wife is from he who be who he be. A prudent woman, a prudent wife is from Jehovah. Even here, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14. Uamei Yehovah Isha Ma Sikalet. Umeo Isha Masikalet. From these verses it follows that HaKadosh, that the Holy One, the Sanctified One, the Set Apart One, the Isla One, Baruch Hu, blessed be He, links His own name, links the Hashem, HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, links His own name to the estate of marriage. Another comment. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a great good. Mata isha, mata tov. Whereas a bad wife, is there anything more bitter? A story of Rav Akiva's son when he was married. How did he conduct himself after Ishto, after his wife, his Isha, Eshet, Oset, entered the nuptial chamber with him? He stayed awake the whole night, reading in HaTorah, reading in the Torah, and studying Haggadot. He said to her, fetch a lamp for me and light it. And she fetched a lamp for him and kept it lighted for him the whole night. Standing by his side, she held the light for him. He opened the scroll and he unrolled it from beginning to end and from end to beginning. And all night she remained standing, holding the light for him until dawn came. At dawn, Rav Akiva approached Beno, the Jew, approached his son and asked him, is she well found or ill found? Is she well found or ill found? And here a midrash note here on the question Rav Akiva asked his son, is she well found or ill found? Here, the Midrash note, Rav Akiva, he quoted the key words, matah, matah, findeth, great good, oh, and moteh, 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 findeth bitter. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, and Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 26, respectively. So Rav Akiva quoted this, Mata Isha, Mata O, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a great good, Matah, and O, and he here from Kohelet, from Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 26. U'moteh ani mar, mimaveta eta haisha, and I find more bitter than death, than mavet, than maot, mia maweta, u motzeh. So we have matah, findeth, matah and to, find of good, and u motzeh, motzeh, u motzeh ani mar, and I find more bitter, motzeh, and mar, 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 bitter. And Beno and his son, Liju, and his son replied, she is well founded. Hence, hear, 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 Matah Isha, Matah Tov, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a great good. Matah Isha, Matah Tov. Now, a different comment. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a great good. Matah Isha, Matah Tov. Such as Michal, Shaul, Saul's daughter, who loved her husband David more than she loved her father. For she saved David. She saved David from her father. When? When Saul sent men to watch David's house. And here the Midrash note, referring to 1 Shmuel, 1 Samuel chapter 19. Refer to 1 Samuel chapter 19. How Michael saved David from her father. When? When Saul sent men to watch David's bait, to watch David's house. And of this it is written, to the eternal God, who said, do not destroy David. Miktam, when Saul sent, and they watched the house to kill him, and they watched the house to dead on him. Here, here, here in today's Psalm, Mizmor Nun Tet Non Tet. Here, here, here. Lamnatzeach Al Tashcheta L'David Miktam Bia Shloach Shaul Waya Yishmeru Eta Habaita Lahemito. To the eternal God, Lamnatzeach, who said, do not destroy David. Al tashcheta l'David. Miktam. When Saul sent, Bi Shiloach Shaul, and they watched the house, Vayishmeru et habayit, to kill him, to dead on him. La hemito, la hemito. Lamnatzeach al tashcheta l'David mikta biyashloach shaul. Vayishmeru et habayit. La hemito, la hemito, la hemito, la hemito, la hemito, la hemito.